We're going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapters 12 through 14. Don't worry, we won't read all of it this morning. But if you'd like a Bible, you don't have one, you'd like to follow along, you can pop your hand in the air and somebody can give you a Bible so that you can follow along with us this morning. You might like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, although we'll begin at some point in chapter 13. And I'll tell you why. These chapters are probably the largest chunk of unpacking when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit in the New Testament. And so we as a church are in a series looking at the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And some of the work of the Holy Spirit is to give gifts to the church, that those gifts might be used to build up and encourage the church and display Christ to the world. And so over the next 2 weeks, we will be based in these passages. It very much is a two-week sermon. Okay, so there'll be stuff that we'll touch on this week, but cover fully next week. Okay, so I'd encourage you to be here. Right? But this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to do a bit of a crash course in the gifts of the Spirit. And we're going to look at when are the gifts for? Who are the gifts for? What are the gifts? Why are we given the gifts? And how do I embrace the gifts? And you'll remember, hopefully, a few weeks ago when we looked at a kind of crash course theology of who is the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to know that good theology leads to expectation and wonder. And so my prayer for us this morning is that as we grasp the gifts of the Spirit, we would be led to expectation. Oh God, I want more of your gifts. And wonder at the God who gives good gifts. Okay, so that's what we're going to be doing together this morning. And the first thing we're going to look at is when are the gifts for? When are the gifts of the Spirit for? And in order to help us, we're going to go to the middle of this chunk of Scripture, chapters 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to read to you from chapter 13, verses 8 through 12. This is Paul speaking about the gifts of the Spirit. He says, "Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." In this passage of Scripture, Paul does something which he does often in his letters, which is that he looks ahead to the second coming of Christ. He looks ahead to what he calls completeness. And he talks about our time now as a kind of childhood. Okay, when we are awaiting the completeness of the coming of Christ. He writes elsewhere, "Then I will be like him, Jesus, because I will see him, Jesus, as he is." And so as we read this passage, it's clear because of the language that Paul is using that he is looking ahead to the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's clear to you and I as we look around at the world that completeness has not yet come. Well, we believe that we can build the kingdom of God here and now, and that we are supposed to do that, and that we can see glorious breakthrough when it comes to the kingdom here and now, and we're supposed to do that. But we also know that we will not see it in fullness until Christ comes again. We're waiting for that day. We are waiting in eager anticipation of seeing the fullness of Christ's kingdom. And Paul makes it clear here that the gifts, he refers to prophecy and knowledge and tongues, and he's including all that he has said about the gifts before this moment in 1 Corinthians. It's clear that the gifts will cease then, because the gifts look ahead to the coming of Christ. They declare Jesus to a world that needs to know about his second coming. And they build the kingdom of God until the time where Christ comes and builds it in his fullness, right? So the gifts will stop then because they won't be needed anymore. We will be with Christ. We will be like him. We will see him as he is. But Paul makes it clear also that until that day comes, the gifts will not cease. There's no scriptural reason to believe that the gifts that we see at work in the New Testament, prophecies, tongues, knowledge, but all the other gifts that are listed, there's no reason for us to believe that they would cease at some point before the fullness of Christ. And so this verse makes it clear that when we ask the question, when are the gifts for? And I ask that question in its grandest sense. I don't mean like when in your day or when in your week or when in your month. I mean when in the grand scheme of God's redemption plan. When are the gifts for? Well, they are for now. They are for this age in God's redemption history. Jesus has come and died and risen again and ascended. And as he ascended, he showered gifts upon his people that would be used until he comes again. And Christ has not come again yet. And so, the gifts are for now. And so, in the smaller sense of when are the gifts for? Well, they are for today. They are for this morning and tomorrow morning and this week and this month. They are for now in every sense of the word. There is clarity in Scripture. They are for now. Now, we can agree on that together theologically. Many would argue against it, which is why we've taken some time to say why we believe it. But we do here at this church believe that. And we can agree together this morning. Yes, the gifts are for now, but there's another thing that we could do. We could remain uninformed about the gifts. So we could, as a church, decide, well, okay, I believe that the gifts are for now. Scripture is clear about that. I'd have to do some real scriptural gymnastics to get out of what Paul has just said in chapter 13. But because I find the gifts difficult or hard to understand, or because of the tradition or the culture that I've grown up in, well, I'll just keep gifts on the side. When it comes to the gifts of the Spirit and the things that I can't quite grasp, I'll just remain a little uninformed about them. That's not what Paul wants. In fact, he says that. So in verse 1 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, he says this. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Paul wants us to embrace the gifts of the Spirit and do it well. Now, I remember one Christmas, many, many years ago when I was still a child, and my brother was also still a child. And we woke up one morning and we ran downstairs after opening our stockings. And we ran into the room where we knew all the Christmas presents were. And my parents caught up with us and we began to open all the presents. And it's one of those vivid memories of mine of Christmas morning. It was a great Christmas. We opened loads of really good presents, okay? And we had loads of fun together. It was one of those Christmas mornings where no one really wanted to leave the tree. It was just a good time. And we were eating chocolate and biscuits for breakfast, because that's what you do on Christmas Day, right? And so we didn't need to leave the room to get any other food. We were just in the Christmas zone, in the room, probably there for a couple of hours. And then something happened which meant that I had to go into another room. Can't remember what exactly, but I had to get up. I had to go into another room. And in the house that we lived in, I had to go out into a side room. And as I went out into this side room, in front of me was this big pool table. And some pool balls and some pool cues, which weren't there the night before, okay? So obviously my parents had set that up overnight. And so I run out of that room, into the room that everyone's still in, and I say, what is that, right? And my brother goes, what? And he gets up and we run in there and we see it and we run back and there's this smile on my dad's face. Because he's been there all morning thinking, when are they going to go into that room? He set it up and he sat there for hours, and I'm sure he's very happy that we're enjoying the presents that we've unwrapped, but he's thinking, when are they going to go into that room? You see, because in that moment, we were uninformed about the gift. We didn't know that it was there, and so we were just leaving it on the side. We weren't doing anything about it. But once we found it, that was the only gift we played with for the rest of the day. Paul does not want us to be uninformed about spiritual gifts. He doesn't want us to leave them in a side room. He doesn't want us, for whatever reason it might be, confusion, fear, lack of clarity, to consider the gifts of the Spirit something that are not for today, because they are. He doesn't want us to consider the gifts of the Spirit things that are not for you, because they are. And so Paul does not want us to remain uninformed. When are the gifts for? Well, they are for now. We'll move on in a moment to look at who are the gifts for. But before we do, let's use the next couple of verses to do some more work together. Let me read from verse 2. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Let's stop there for a moment. Because what I want to allow those verses to do is eradicate the comparison game that we play in church. We do it in all kinds of things. But we can play it when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. I've heard some of you over the last couple of weeks as I've spoken about our times of worship when God has moved. And some of you have said to me, well, I just don't know if the Holy Spirit wants to or is meeting with me. Because I see how the Holy Spirit meets with other people. And I think, well, I'm not sure that that's for me, or I'm not sure if that's what I'm feeling. So I'm not really sure, is this the Holy Spirit? And we need to allow these verses that we've just read together to help us realize that the only way that any of us can cry out, Jesus is Lord, is by the work of the Holy Spirit. And so if you are endeavoring to make Jesus the Lord of your life, then the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. Don't play the comparison game. Don't say, well, because God seems to minister to that person that way, and I'm not reacting that way, then God's not ministering to me. No, if you are endeavoring to honor Christ, even if you're falling short from time to time, then the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. And the way that he wants to minister to you this morning may look different to the way that he wants to minister to others. And we must not be like Peter, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, who, when he met the resurrected Christ for breakfast with all the other disciples, asked, what are you doing with John? Right? And Jesus, ever so tactfully, said, mind your own business. So, you know, don't worry about John right now. Okay, we've got to be those who come before God and say, God, what do you want to do in my life? And be confident that the answer to that is something wonderful. Because the Holy Spirit wants to move in each and every one of our lives. It will look different for different people at different times with different characters. It'll look different. But the Holy Spirit wants to give gifts to us. And that helps us as we move on to the next question we're going to look at this morning. Who are the gifts for? Who are the gifts for? Let me continue to read from verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We'll stop there for a moment, because those verses that we've read help us answer who are the gifts for. Some very important words that we read together about the gifts. The Holy Spirit gives gifts in everyone and to each one. The answer is the gifts are for all of us, for everyone. Everyone receives a gift or gifts from the Holy Spirit, and not anyone receives all of them. Does that make sense? Everyone receives a gift or gifts from the Holy Spirit, and not everyone receives all of them. That's important, because Paul will go on, and we'll focus on this more next week, to use the picture of a body to describe the church that works effectively with the gifts of the Spirit. And he talks about how some of us are a hand and some of us are a foot and some are an ear and some are an eye. And he says this because he wants us to recognize that everyone has a part to play when it comes to spiritual gifts. Now, it couldn't be that one person could stand forward and say, I have received all of the gifts, because that would make that person the body. And no person is the body. We are all parts of the body. And so we must all receive the gifts that God has given us with faith and humility, to say that this is not to build me up, but to build up the body. That's how the gifts work. It's important that we recognize that the gifts are to everyone and in each one. We would call ourselves a charismatic church. What that means is that we believe that the gifts of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit, is still very much active today. Now, charismatic almost means gifts of grace, when you put it back to its root. That's really important to grasp when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. These are gifts of grace. You know, the gifts of the Spirit are not badges of honor that good Christians get. Right? They are tools for a job that every Christian needs. And the gifts of the Spirit are grace gifts. Just like salvation is a grace gift. You don't earn it, you are given it by a loving Father. These are what they are for. So no one here is disqualified. No one here hasn't marked up enough devotional times, right? No one here has not read the Bible enough. That's not how it works. The gifts of the Spirit are grace gifts. Now, are there things we need to do to help them grow and develop in our lives? Yes, we'll touch on that. But are they gifts that simply need to be received? Yes, they are grace gifts. And just as you are a son or a daughter of God because of grace, you are also gifted by the Spirit because of grace. Do not disqualify yourself this morning. Do not think there is any reason why God has not gifted you. He has, and he wants to again and again and again. Who are the gifts for? Well, they are for all of us. They are grace gifts. They are given to each one. The next question to spend some time on is what are the gifts. As we do this, and we continue to read in the book of Corinthians, we'll get to a list. Now, some people love lists. Some people hate lists. This is a list, but it's important to recognize it's not like a shopping list. It's not like your to-do list. It's not academic in that way. This is a list that has come off the back of experience. That's important. Paul is writing here and elsewhere in his letters about things that are happening. The Spirit is like wind. You don't know which way he's going to go. The Spirit is fire. He is water. He is unpredictable. You can't box him in. That's not what we're trying to do. But as soon as you get a list, it's really easy for us to try and box him in. And over time, perhaps if you've been at this church for a while, you may have done a course called the Discovery Course, or you may have been elsewhere in other churches, and you might have done courses that helped you find out what your spiritual gift was. I did it, and came up with three spiritual gifts that were mine and three spiritual gifts that very much weren't. And that's okay. It can be helpful in some ways, but in other ways it can be a little unhelpful, because what it can do is box in the way that the Spirit works so that we feel comfortable and don't have to worry about it again. Okay, so if these are my gifts, that's fine. Those are my gifts. I've got those. And now I never really have to think about the gifts of the Spirit again. But Paul is writing this off the back of the experience of the church every time that it gathers and in its everyday life. And so the gifts of the Spirit should be cropping up in the life of the church all the time. And the gifts of the Spirit are dynamic, as is the Spirit. For different seasons and different times, God wants to equip you and encourage you in different ways. Yes, there'll be gifts that you'll see move throughout your whole life. But there'll be times where you need to come to God and say, for this season, I need this gift of the Spirit, Lord, please give it to me. Don't allow these lists that we will look at in a moment to become a checklist or a shopping list or something that helps you feel comfortable and then forget about it. No, these are dynamic words that are living and active. And we must approach the Holy Spirit and his gifts in that way. We must eagerly desire these tools that help us declare Christ and build his kingdom. And so as we see the gifts that Paul lists in 1 Corinthians and elsewhere, please approach these with eager anticipation, not as a daily shopping list. Okay? So let me read to you, continuing in verse, where did I get to? 8. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom,
To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. We'll stop there. There, Paul explains some of the gifts to us. He talks about wisdom. Wisdom. Have you ever come across somebody in church life who can step into a difficult situation where you don't know the way forward, and they bring a wisdom that may have come with age, but it seems almost more than that? It is a wisdom that unlocks a difficult circumstance. God gives wisdom to people for times and places in church life and individual life. It is a gift of His Spirit. Knowledge. Now, knowledge is a great gift. It's the ability to step again like wisdom into a circumstance where there needs to be breakthrough and to see supernaturally from the Spirit something that you could not otherwise see. I remember when I was making a decision about whether or not I would come and work here, okay? I've shared this before, I'll share it again. Paul Tomlinson called me and didn't know all the ins and outs of the circumstances and didn't even know that I was considering coming here, and just said to me, I was praying for you, and I just felt like God wanted me to call you and say that if you were considering church work, that's really something that you should push forward with. You know, that God gave him some knowledge there that he didn't otherwise have, and he stepped out in faith, and 15 years later, you're still stuck with me. Right? So blame him. Knowledge, a key that unlocks something supernaturally. Faith. Now, we all need faith. One of the things you're going to see throughout these gifts is that we all need all of them. And all of them move in certain ways in our lives at different times. But sometimes some people have a measure of this gift which is greater than we see in ourselves. Faith is true of that. You might see people who just have faith to see breakthrough in everyday circumstances. If you're feeling down, if you're feeling low, if you can't pray for the thing you need to pray for, if you don't believe that you're going to see breakthrough, well, who are you going to call? That person. Because I know they've got faith for this. I know that every time I pray with them, every time I speak with them, they've got faith for this. They've got faith for their life. They've got faith for what God wants to do. Faith is a gift from the Spirit. Healing. Now, again, we should all pray for people to be healed. God hasn't said that there's a bunch of special people, the only people who can pray for healing. No, we all pray for people to be healed. But there will be times and seasons in church life where we come across and find people within our church or other churches who pray for people to be healed and see them healed at an alarming rate. They see success in a great way. And as we see that, we believe that it's a gift of the Spirit. God's given that person a gift that they can humbly use to pray for people to be healed. They're not healing them. Jesus is healing them. But they've got the gift to pray for it. Miraculous powers in the same way. And then tongues and interpretation and prophecy. Now, we'll focus more on these next week as we start to look at the other verses in this chapter. But to say briefly now, tongues is a language that God gives. It's a prayer language that we can pray out in personal prayer. Paul says, I pray in tongues more than any of you. And what he means by that is not in a public setting, but in private prayer. I pray in tongues. It's a Godward prayer. And also there is a public tongue that you may very well have heard here. Someone prays out in a language that isn't immediately understandable. And what they're doing is they are praying to God in a tongue that has been given to them. And then interpretation, we say, let's wait. Because we believe where there is a tongue, there is an interpretation. And we wait for an interpretation. And Paul will explain, we'll look next week, at why we do that. Because we believe that non-believers will see it and be drawn to Christ because of it. And then there is prophecy. The ability to bring a now word from God. It will never contradict Scripture. And when it comes, it will encourage and it will build up. It will not condemn. Prophecy is not just, thus saith the Lord, on Thursday you'll stub your toe. Right? Prophecy is the ability to bring an encouragement from God for now. For somebody in your life, for somebody that you're praying for, you know as you pray, God would say this to that person. God would have me share this verse with that person. It's prophetic. It's now. That's something that God wants to do in our life. Now, this list in Corinthians is not a definitive list. It's not a shopping list. Please understand the Spirit's work is dynamic. We know that it's not definitive because Paul lists loads of other stuff elsewhere. In Romans chapter 12, he talks about service. Now, hey, you don't need a spiritual gift to stack chairs at the end of the service this morning, but some of you have a spiritual gift that says, I want to do that. I want to be the person behind the scenes that no one sees and does all of those things to make everything work. I will serve. What a gift. Teaching is a spiritual gift that Paul talks about. The ability to unpack the scriptures. Encouragement. Now, we must all encourage, but some, you know, like Timothy, was called a son of encouragement, right? Some people are just encouragers. You know those people in your life. You're feeling down, you're feeling low. Well, I don't want to spend time with that person because they're going to make me feel worse. I'm going to spend time with that person because they've got a gift of encouragement. Right? Generous giving. Hands up, who wants that, right? Generous giving. But some of you have it, but we won't know. Because if you've got the gift of the Spirit and you're a generous giver, then it's humble. You don't tell people about it. But you can give. Again and again and again. Generous giving, leadership in the church can only be done through the gift of the Spirit. If done in God's power, it's powerful. If done in our own power, it's destructive. Leadership is a gift of the Spirit. Mercy is a gift of the Spirit. It's difficult to come alongside people at their lowest point. But some people are gifted in such a way that they find great joy in it. They love to help those at their lowest point. Mercy is a gift from the Spirit. Elsewhere in Ephesians 4, Paul talks about these offices, these roles within the church as gifts from the Spirit. Apostles, evangelists, pastors, and prophets. And also, we see in elsewhere in Scripture, creativity is a gift of the Spirit. In the Old Testament, we see the Spirit moves to give people the ability to design things for the temple. Hospitality in 1 Peter, we see that the Spirit comes to help people open their homes to people. Okay, not just to cook a good meal. That is hospitable, but it's not hospitality. Hospitality is bigger and wider and greater than that. It's the complete openness of one's life to others. Hospitality, a gift of the Spirit. And administration. I know that this is a gift of the Spirit because I don't have it. Administration. Some of you like administration, and that can only be spiritual, right? If you like lists, you've probably got the Holy Spirit's gift of administration. What are the gifts? These are the gifts. But these are not a shopping list. They are dynamic. And the Spirit wants to move in your life in different ways at different times. There'll be things on here that you'll think, I know that works in my life. There'll be things on here that you think, one point maybe, but not now. There'll be things on here that you need to cry out for now. The gifts of the Spirit. The things that are on offer to those who love Jesus Christ and come before him humbly and seek his face. What are the gifts? Well, here are some. Moving on to our next question. And as we start to conclude, we'll look at why are the gifts given? And we'll look at how do we embrace the gifts? And we'll do this over 2 weeks. But this morning, let's look at some reasons why are we given the gifts? Well, the first and most clear reason is to glorify Christ. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It's what he comes to do. And so when he gives gifts, it's in order to glorify Christ, not to glorify you. We in our world can only often think of gifts as something that we earn. If I've been good enough, Santa will fill my stocking. That's not how God works. Okay? He doesn't give you a gift because you've been good enough. He gives you a gift in order to equip you to glorify him. You need them. That's why he gives them. They glorify Christ. And in glorifying Christ, They reveal Christ. And so in a corporate setting, we encourage the use of the gifts because we believe they reveal who Jesus is. There would be people who say, well, actually, I believe the gifts are more of a distraction. Well, that's not what Paul says in these chapters. He says that the gifts are there in order that people might come in and go, God's here. When we allow God to move, he will reveal himself to people in the room. If you allow God to move in your life, he will use you to reveal Christ around you. In your school, in your work, in your home, in your street. You're meant to reveal Jesus, to glorify Jesus. The gifts are there in order for that. These two we'll look at in more detail next week. They're there for the common good, and they're there to grow in unity. Okay? Gifts are not given, we've already said, as badges of honor to say, hey, look at my gift. No. Gifts are given to the humble so that they may use them for the common good. Okay? So I would say that God's gifted me with the ability to teach. I say that humbly. It's something that I've always loved to do. I could use it for my good. I'd quite like to go on for another 2 hours. I'd love that, right? You probably wouldn't, right? I've got to use it for the common good, okay? It's the same with every gift, right? It's for the common good, and it's got to help us grow in unity. We will do more on that next week. Finally, in this, why are we given the gifts? It's to display the coming kingdom. If Paul says that the gifts exist until the kingdom comes, then it's in order to display the kingdom that is coming. We display the kingdom when we use the gifts. The gifts are not badges of honor. They are tools for a job. And the job is kingdom building. We have these gifts to build the kingdom, to do something, to display Jesus. We don't sit back with them. We stand up and we run with them. The gifts of the Spirit display the kingdom. Final question that we'll look at a little this morning is, how do we embrace the gifts? And we'll do this in two kind of sections, and we'll only do one today. We'll look at how do we seek the gifts. And then next week we'll talk more about how do I use the gifts when I've got them. But today we'll talk about how do we seek the gifts. How do we receive the gifts that God gives to us? I came across this quote from an author called John Bloom, who says that the Bible isn't really a how-to manual. It holds out treasure and bids us seek it out. Before we develop a practice of how we receive the gifts, we need to develop a desire for the gifts. That's how Scripture works. So Scripture is full of commands, and they're really important. But more so, Scripture is this wonderful story that's meant to make you fall in love with Jesus when you read it. And so when we read about his people who walked away from him and the Son who came to bring us back to him and the way in which we've come, we fall in love with Jesus, and the treasure of a relationship is held out before us and we seek it out. We like the man who found the great pearl and we sell everything we have in order to get it. I don't think that man at that point was going through a checklist. Oh, I need to do this, I need to do this. He just said, I need to do whatever I can to get that. And that's what the Bible, that's what the Word of God does in our life. Okay, before we develop a practice, an ABC of spiritual gifts, we need to develop a desire for spiritual gifts. We need to be those, and Paul says it twice in these chapters, who eagerly desire the gifts. We need to be those who come before God and say, these gifts that you have given, Holy Spirit, I need them. I need them. And what I want my heart's position to be before I try to do anything to get them is to recognize that they are grace gifts and I need them. I eagerly desire them. I'm not going to do steps on a page. I'm going to do everything I can to receive all that you have for me. How do we embrace the gifts? How do we receive them? Well, before anything else, desire them. What do you do when you desire something? You go after it. You run after it. You do everything you can to receive it. Develop a desire in your life for the spiritual gifts. Recognize the need in your life for spiritual gifts. And then then move into the things that you can do, but only with the desire in place first. When you have that desire for spiritual gifts, when you know you can't do the Christian life without them, when you know you can't build the kingdom without them, then you can step into the things that will help you grow and receive the gifts. The first thing you might do is read scripture. Why don't you just go home and this week, every day, read chapters 12, 13, and 14 of Corinthians. Just read it every day. Just read through it and pray through it and ask as you read these gifts that Jesus has given, and you'll read about love and you'll read about unity. Just read these passages and go, oh God, I want more of this in my life. Read scripture in order to develop a desire and to receive the gifts of the Spirit. Learn from others, okay? So find the people in your life who are moving in the gifts of the Spirit, who you recognize, get this and live in this reality, and say, can I just spend an hour with you? Because I just want to receive something. I just want to know more about this. And here's what that person will do if they're humble. They'll say, well, actually, it's nothing to do with me. It's to do with God. But I'd love to pray with you. And then you can get together with somebody and you can learn from their experience and you can ask them questions and you can pray. How did you start moving in the gifts of the Spirit? How did you understand this? Well, let's pray together. That's good. Learn from others, an important part of the Christian life. The next point, be led by your desire. What I mean by that is that what tends to happen as we read through these gifts is you find yourself in one of many places. That the first place might be, well, I recognize some of these gifts in my life. So I know that God has given me this gift. I may have never attributed it to God before, but I know that I've got that gift, and now I'm going to thank him for it. Or I know that I've got that gift, and I know that God's given it to me, and I'm practicing it and using it, and I want to use it more. You might find yourself there. Or you might find yourself looking at these and going, I don't know. I don't know if I've got any of these gifts. I don't know what I should do. Should I just pray? In a moment, we're going to say it's about prayer. It's about asking. So do I just come before God and say, okay, it's your choice, your God. Give me whatever one you want. You know, is that how we do it? Because then I might get administration and that'd be rubbish, right? Or you might get hospitality and you're the biggest introvert in the world, okay? When we approach the gifts of the Spirit, be led by your desire, because you were created by the Father who knows you and loves you and made you for a purpose, which means that the desires within your heart are there to be fulfilled when the gifts are given. Does that make sense? So you are made in a certain way, and God knows that because he did it. So that your desires will bring you to a place where you ask for the gifts that you need. In fact, it's before that even. Yeah, this will be unhelpful, but I'm not, anyway, whatever. It'll be helpful if it makes sense. So we have children, and we know our children better in many ways than they know themselves, which means that I know the gifts that they should get for Christmas better than they do. Does that make sense? And you could go, oh, maybe not. But no, I do. I know that the tat that they see on TV isn't good for them. But I know what they really need in order to thrive. Because I know them. And so what I do is I drop that desire into their heart and I help it grow. Right? You've probably done that with your kids. You've said, don't you want this, really? Right? And actually, that sounds, it's not bad parenting, because you know that gift's better for them. And so you're going before the desire even, and you're saying, actually, this is what you want. And God will do that in our lives. He'll come into our lives and he'll say, actually, this is what you want. And so when you read through these gifts and you look at them, there'll be some and your heart will beat. You'll go, actually, I know that I want to help people when they're at their lowest. I know that. It's what I'd love to do. Other people don't, I do. Or actually, I can't stand the way that Tom works. I would just love him to be more organized, right? That's right. Or actually, I'm going home today after church. I'd love it if 20 people came with me and ate in my home with me and I could welcome them. And right? Hospitality, right? Now, some of you hear that and you go, oh, I hate that, right? It's because that's not your desire and it's not the gift that God's going to give you. But your desire will lead you. So as you come before God in a moment, and if you're praying from a position of, actually, I don't know if I've got any of these gifts, let your desire lead you. What is it that you want to do for God? And what gifts do you need to do it? Ask for those gifts. And once we're led by our desire, the next step is to, in faith, put ourselves in the path of the gifts. Let me explain what I mean. I mean, if you are asking for the gift of hospitality, invite someone round to your house next week. If you are asking for the gift of prophecy, pray for somebody today. Put your hand on their shoulder, pray that God will bless them, and while you're praying, ask him, do you have anything to say to this person? So, tongues is a gift that you may be asking for, but the way I would describe tongues, the way I use tongues as a personal prayer language, is that I pray in tongues when I've run out of words to say in English. It's an overflow of praise that comes up to God when I don't know what to say, okay? Or actually, most often than not, when I use tongues, is that when I'm driving to and from a difficult situation, might be a pastoral situation, might be something where I think the enemy is at work, and I just don't know what to pray. And I know that what Scripture says is that the Spirit intercedes for us with groans and noises. And in that moment in my car, you'd think I was mental. I'm just praying in tongues. And I'm just speaking out in tongues because I don't know what to pray. I don't know what the answer is to the situation I'm going to or I'm coming from. But I'm praying in tongues because it's all I got. Now, if I never prayed like that, or if I never prayed enough in English to run out of English words, then the gift of tongues isn't something that's necessary in my life. Does that make sense? I'm putting myself in the path of the gift. If you want to use the gift that you're asking for, that God has given you, put yourself in the path of it. If your heart beats with mercy, then find yourself in a place where you can use that gift. Step into the things that God wants to do. If you want to pray for people to be healed, if you want the gift of healing, then pray for sick people. You've got to put yourself in the path of the gifts. And in that, and through that, and in everything, the most important thing is this. It's a desire to receive from God something that he has promised to give. And so in all of those how-tos, in all of those lists, in all of those things that could become very academic, please, please, before anything else, eagerly desire, know that you cannot do it on your own, and then come before your Father in heaven and ask him for a good gift. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake instead. Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit is here for us, here with us today, here with us in every moment, in order that we might receive all we need to build the kingdom. Not badges of honor, tools for a job. If you're eager to do the job of a son or a daughter of Christ, come today, be led by your desire, and ask the Spirit for his gifts. And that those who ask will find, those who knock, the door will be opened, those who seek will find. He wants to give you the gifts. They're a gift of grace. Would you stand with me? Let's stand about.